Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهدوا الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثه في الأميين رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله والجمعة مبارك الحمد لله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم Also, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجدلهم جدلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل من سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين صدق الله العظيم Let's read an expression of both of these. The first one is the 104th ayah of Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3. It says, And let there arise out of you an ummah, inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. Those are the ones who will be successful. An expression of the second reading was, which was 16th chapter, Surah An-Nahl, the B, 125, and it was, or it is, invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good instruction, and argue with them in a way that is best. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who is astray from his way, and he is the most knowing of who is rightly guided. And we say, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, today we continue the subject, which is taqwa and the game of life. Taqwa and the game of life. And this is the seventh segment, part, installment of that subject. I'd like to read a couple of quotes from Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Hulain. He said, "Now for all these years that I have been working with the locks of secret knowledge, nothing has been as rewarding to me as knowing that actually exactness in scripture is abstract, and abstract in scripture is exactness." Another quote from him, he said, "So let us not forget that those things that we think of, perhaps only in abstract, are very much necessary as energizers, as germs of life, to manifest material interest. And we include in the picture taqwa and tahara, purity. These represent the precious beginning of real life for the mind of man." Those are citations from the Imam. I'd like to read a hadith from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is related in Bukhari and Muslim that a person came to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and told him that his brother's bowels were loose. Thereupon, Allah's Messenger said, "Give him honey." So he gave him that, and then came and said, "I gave him honey, but it has only made him worse." He said this three times, meaning he came back three times in that way to the Prophet, and the Prophet replied the same each time, "Give him honey." And then he came the fourth time, and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Allah has spoken the truth, and your brother's stomach is lying." So he made him drink more honey, and he recovered. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The object is to appreciate. I gotta take a chance here and see if I can. Change the way these AirPods work. Sometimes I feel like a swimmer's ear or something with it on, right? Mashallah. But so far we'll be okay. But we made a statement in the previous installment that I'm going to bring back right now and then go further. And the statement is that Allah has blessed us with the complete set of revealed universal abstracts. Now, until those words individually mean something to you, and until you can get appreciation for them together, there's a value in al-Islam and in the Quran that we're not getting. And that's my hope. My hope, my aspiration is for you to have that experience and have that relationship with the Quran, with al-Islam, with the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's take each word. Revealed, meaning it's from Allah. Universal, it means it applies across the board, all times, all places, in all domains. Abstract. Now, abstract is the word that we have to really get a hold of, right? And the statement, that the treatment of it, or the understanding of that word, abstract, that I want us to have as we speak about this, is what is abstract is universal. What is abstract is universal. So, yes, we said revealed, universal, abstract. But abstract in this whole presentation is saying the truth. Start with that. The truth. Now add parenthetically to it, but without details. It's the truth, but without details. So what Allah has revealed to us in the Quran, and part and parcel of that is the life model example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know this hadith. Muhammad is the Quran walking, right? He is the word made flesh. So when you have the Quran, alhamdulillah, you have the Quran, you have the word of Allah. Now when you have Muhammad as the exemplar, the expositor, the living actor of the Quran, well, Allah has given you all that you need. You have his revelation, and you have someone showing you how to live that revelation. You really don't need anything else. I'm saying, once you understand how to interact with that, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, okay, how do you work with that? Those two realities, the Quran, life model of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Okay, so the truth without details is what the abstract is. So when Allah has revealed to us universal truths without details. Let's just set abstract aside for a second. What we have in the Quran is revealed universal truths without details. That's not there's nothing deficient about that. Oh yeah, we got it's the truth, but where are the details? The details are in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the details also come with growing in al-Islam, growing in familiarity and relationship with the Quran, in familiarity with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. When you grow in both of those, then you start experiencing and seeing and, yeah, experiencing, seeing and acting and benefiting from a mature relationship with both. I mean a spiritually mature relationship with both the Quran and the Prophet. Then things happen in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. You say, oh, is that what happened when you do that? Yeah. I'm going to say this, Allahu A'lam, and this is no boast, and I don't want to spoil my blessings at all. I don't. But understanding this, I can hardly look at, I can hardly open the Quran and look at it without too much coming up where I just have to say, wait, no, okay, you can't deal with all of that. I relate it to Zamzam. It just keeps flowing. This is no boast. So let me get on to it so maybe you can get a taste of the experience that I'm trying to get to. So this is what Allah has given us, right? This is a part of that perfect favor that is al-Islam. All right. Now, the first or the place of that blessing is the Quran itself. The Quran itself. We can say it's a divine book, and that's true. But sometimes that word is such a common word to us, we miss its power and potency. So sometimes because of our language experience, I need to say it's a miracle book, even though that's not the Quranic way definition for it. But when we say it's a miracle, then it kind of grips us a little bit more. So learning how to read the Quran is learning how to discern the... And there's only two. There's going to be four words, but there are only two things that we're talking about: the abstract and the universal, the concrete and the particular. Okay, so abstract, concrete, universal, particular. Okay, brother and sister, that's what's in the Quran. What's in the Quran is the abstract, the universal, and in some there are some details. But most of the details for how we are to live our life out, they come from what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivers to us. The hadith says, peace be upon the Prophet, he says, I have been given the Quran and something like it. I have been given the Quran and something like it. So there are some things in the Quran that are abstract, some things in the Quran that are concrete, some things in the Quran that are universal, some things in the Quran that are particular, some things from Prophet Muhammad that are abstract and universal, and some things from Prophet Muhammad are concrete and particular. Okay. Since both of those reside in both of those sources, that's true for the Quran, that's true for Muhammad. Okay, in order to learn how to read, and you have to read both of them, in order to learn how to read the Quran, part of learning how to read the Quran is to know, to think and to question and query when it's appropriate to say, okay, well now is this abstract or is this concrete? Is this universal or is this particular? That's a question that you have to go into the book with. When you go into the book with that question, those are like the headlights that you go into the book with. Right? So you read something. And if you have that question, you feel and you recognize that one of the methods of understanding it calls for you being able to ask and answer that question about whatever you read in the Quran. I'll say that again. You have to be ready and prepared and in the habit of asking that question whenever you're reading the Quran. And you have to do the same thing when you read Prophet Muhammad, the reports from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Mashallah, just, again, here comes a little bit of that flood, you know. Adam was created on 60 cubits, right? Okay, what is that? Is that abstract? Is that concrete? Was he really about 90 feet tall? I don't know. I'm not inclined to think that, right? See, then you have to go on the journey of saying, okay, since there's ayah, since the ayahs of creation, you have to see, well, what's agreeing, what's disagreeing, what's approving, what's disapproving. The Quran talks about the sun rising from the east, and then stopping it at the apex and then going back to rise again, to rise again from its original place, right? What's that? Is that abstract? Is that concrete? Now I'm using those because they, you know, they kind of strike you automatically as worthy of a question. But sometimes those things, sometimes hadith and reports are not as concretely or obviously, well, for some, obviously abstract. But let's move away from it. See, that's what I'm talking about. I gotta pull it in a little bit. But the point is that learning how to read the Quran is learning how to discern the interweaving of the abstract and the concrete, the universal and the particular, and how to move from low definition to high definition inside the Quran and the sources of al-Islam. All right? Let's take something. Alif Lam Mim. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. هدى للمتقين. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. أولئك هم ال. I'm missing it now. As often as I say that. هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. I'm going to stop right there because I can just treat the first pieces of it to get a sense of it. Alif Lam Mim, A-L-M. Now, if you want to know whether it's abstract, concrete, etc., then the question is, you know, what does it say? Is there any meaning, does any meaning come to you immediately just with A-L-M, Alif Lam Mim? Nothing comes immediately. You can start interpreting or surmising or quote-unquote speculating or guessing at something, but the words themselves or the letters themselves, they don't actually tell you anything out front. You have to start thinking about it simply by asking the question, now what does that mean? right? And then you have to look for ways by which they can be understood to say something. Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah, when they said, it's just like those television signals that we used to get. Doom, doom, doom. So that brings your attention. It brings your attention to whatever's to come right after it, right? And that's what Alif Lam means. Some say, I, Allah, am the best knower, blah, blah. That's fine. Alhamdulillah, Allahu A'lam. So nothing to argue about there. It's just, that's what it is. Now, when you say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, it says, that is the book. Translators say, this is the book. But what Allah actually says, it says, that is the book. So then you have to ask yourself, is he talking concrete? Is there something concrete, or is there something abstract? Because the revelation, this book that we have, I don't have a... Well, yes, I do. Right here. This is just an example. This book, there was no book like this when that was revealed. There was no book like this. There was no... The book wasn't existing. It was only compiled after the Prophet's passing, after some serious debate as to whether it should be done at all. But in this book that we have now, the revelation came before it saying, I gotta get this out. The revelation came before saying, got so many wires, I don't want to get knocked out here. Saying, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. So the point is that it's pointing you to something that is not concrete. It is pointing you to something that is not concrete. I'm not trying to go all into that. I'm saying that once you understand that you ask those type of questions about everything that you read in the revelation, that's what starts your journey towards the truth, towards the revelation that is in the book itself, right? So I'll continue to walk forward on this. The opening verses that we started with, it says, call to the way, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there be among you an ummah يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, calling to all that is good. Let's stop. Is that abstract, universal, or is that concrete and particular? Let there arise out of you. Is it telling you specifically what to do? It's telling you, let there arise out of you an ummah. Let there arise out of you an ummah. When you understand what ummah is, which means you have to understand what Allah is saying. When he uses word X or word Y, you have to understand what Allah is saying. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. I'm taking that, for the purpose of this lesson, take that as abstract. Because you need to know what a community is, you need to know what ummah is, you need to know what you are to call to, or what is supposed to be arising from you. So that's the truth, yes, let there arise out of you an ummah. But you need to know how that ummah is being developed. And what is the character of it? These are all questions that you have to ask. And the reason I added the 16:125 is because it gives the detail about the call. You're supposed to call to all that is good. Well, one of the questions that you ask as you continue to read is, how do I call? How do I call? Okay, where do you go to get the answer? You go back to the book. You ask the Quran. The Quran will tell you, inshallah, with the help of Allah, will tell you how to call. And it says, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجدل لهم بالتي هي أحسن. Now, obviously it should be to you that, okay, I'm reading the Arabic. Whether, you know, I don't profess to be in any way an expert at reading the Arabic, but I can read Arabic. I might not read it as fluently and with as much flow, and you know, some of the makhraj might not be there on some matters, but I am a Quran reader, right? So I'm saying to you that when you think about yourself, You need to ask yourself, how close am I and how much time am I spending learning how to read the Quran in the original language? Because all of what I'm saying is actually, if you want the truth, meaning you, if you want, I want to read the Quran, I want to get the truth, I want to know what Allah is saying, well, you're going to have to learn how to read it in the original language. Because the English words don't do it. The English words don't do it. Allah did not reveal the Quran in English. Allah revealed the Quran in Fusa, Lughat al-Arabiya Fusa. It's not even, he didn't reveal it in Egyptian Arabic, he didn't reveal it in Sudani or Moroccan or any other Arab nation's dialect. It was revealed in Quranic Arabic. The Quranic Arabic language is a language that Allah himself cultivated in the land and among the people who were the original recipients of the revelation, the Quran. It's a different language. It's a divine language. It's a language that Allah created to be the carrier for his message. It's a big deal. Do you understand that English was created to carry the message of the people who dominate through English? Prophet. Prophet. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. What's the deal with the synonyms? I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but let me tell you this. The Imam taught us one of those keys, alhamdulillah. He said, wherever there's a homonym, there's a synonym. Part of the code of the English language is words. The words that rhyme, they have something to do with each other. Then they teach those who they want to teach what the correlation between profit and profit, for example, and interest and interest. And so gold and gold. And wherever there's a silent letter, there's a secret. You read a word in English, if there's a silent letter in that word, there's a secret in it. And that's why it's silent. It's there. But if you don't know, you can read it, somebody who does know, they don't even know what they're reading, right? But it's good, because now you're the donkey carrying their books. And they keep their world alive by us keeping their language alive. And whoever's language you speak, they're in charge of your world and you are a slave to theirs. So we have to learn how to read Allah's word in the Quran. Everything I'm saying to you, I'm telling myself, I got to admit, say, okay, you can say a lot. But until you really get a taste of the force of knowing Quranic Arabic and abstracting meaning from Quranic Arabic, a lot of what you say, Fahim, is going to go like this. I just got to say that. That's for me as well as you. So don't feel bad in the sense that it's, I want you to understand, take it as a motivation to look. I don't care. When did you start English? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. That's where you started? Okay, well, that's what you did. That's where you got started in Arabic. Alif, Ba, Ta, Fa, Jim, Ha, Kha, Da, Va, Ray, Zay, Sin, Shin, Sod, Don, Ayn, Ghani, Fa, etc., etc. That's what you got. What you going to do if you don't get started? What you going to do? I ain't got time. Okay, what you going to do? What you going to do? How can you be? What's your life going to be? Oh, I can make it without the Quran. That's what you're saying. You said, oh, I'll be all right. Look, I'm good. Shoot, check my bank account. I'm good. Shoot, man, my credit rating is 800. I can go wherever I want to go, get what I want to get, right? Okay, there's a little bit of a joke in there, but it's very serious. When you delay reading the Quran in the original language, you're delaying your access to the will of God for your life. Will you delay learning how to read the Quranic Arabic in its original language? You're delaying your access to the will of God for your life. It's never too late. You're like, I'm too, what? You ain't dead. You ain't. Are you lying? Okay, you lie. So you ain't there. How you know? You know they say, we're moving on, believe it. They said that the person that's going to live for 150 years has already been born. On the planet right now is the person who's going to live for 150 years. I'm not inclined to think that is me. I'm not inclined to think that. But the point is, none of us know when that day is coming for either of us. So how can you say it's too late? It's a lie that Shaitan is telling you to keep you from doing it. The Muslim is supposed to study from the cradle to the grave. So when do you stop studying? When do you stop seeking? When do you stop learning? When you die. That's it. And then you really learn, mashallah. So, let's put a little bit on this. Prophet Muhammad, the hadith that we read from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He told the man when his brother said, my brother, his bowels, he's having a problem with his bowels. The Prophet told him, here's the abstract. Give him honey. That's abstract. It's just a statement. Give him honey. That's abstract. It's the truth. No details. All right? And as it went on, the person came one time, came two times, came the third time. What did the Prophet say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, the book of Allah is truthful. Your brother's stomach is lying. Where did the Prophet's abstract come from? It came from what he knew from the Quran. Because the Quran told him that honey is a medicine. So the Prophet told him, on the basis of what he knew from the Quran, give him honey. He didn't give the man details. He didn't even tell him that the Quran said, the Quran is the reason I'm giving you what I'm giving you. He just simply said, give him honey. But when he pushed back on it, the Prophet said, Allah told the truth. The Quran is true. Your brother's stomach is lying. Okay. So what does that mean? It means that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that he was telling him the truth, because what he was telling him is from what Allah revealed in the Quran, لا ريب فيه. There's no doubt in it. He had no doubt about what he's saying. And so with confidence, he told him, give him honey, because he believed that Allah has said there's a healing in the honey for him. So the Prophet believed it, received it, gave it to them, and then he said, do this. And as long as they continued to do it, they got the benefit from it. In his particular case, so here's the universal being applied to the particular. The universal is that in honey is a healing. The particular situation, my brother's stomach is bad, quote unquote. And so then when it was done, then you get the benefit. Now, brother and sister, that is true. That is true for everything. Let me simplify. I'm trying hard to simplify this. I'm going to give you the Karate Kid model. You heard me say this before. Most of you have seen that movie. Karate Kid. He wanted to learn how to do karate. So he went to Mr. Miyagi. Mr. Miyagi, teach me karate so I can beat up on these bullies and they can stop them from beating up on me, right? And Mr. Miyagi said, go wax my car. And he did that for X period of time. Then he came, okay, that's done. He said, now go paint my fence. And so he went and did that for a little while, but then you know the story. He came out, hey, I didn't come here to be your slave. I didn't come here to do all this. I came here to learn karate. He said, show me wax on, wax off. And then when he showed him wax on, wax off, then Mr. Miyagi showed him that while you were doing wax on, wax off, you were learning what you didn't know you were learning about what you intended to know. Show me paint the fence. And then he showed him paint the fence. And he showed him while you were doing as I told you to do, you were learning, unbeknownst to yourself, what you came to learn, but I gave it to you abstractly, and you practiced it abstractly, but then when it came time for it to do what it intended to do, it did it, then you were apprised of the fact that, you know what? That thing that I was doing that I thought had nothing to do with what I wanted to do was actually what I wanted to do all the time. Brother and sister, don't let that slip by you, because I'm going to give you some examples that's in your face all the time. Wax on, wax off. That's wax on, wax off. I'm not finished. That's wax on, wax off. That's what Allah says repeatedly in the Quran. Establish prayer and pay the zakat. That's wax on, wax off. For what? For your personal growth. For your soul's growth. Man, look, I'm looking at handsome men. I'm looking at beautiful women. I'm looking at smart, successful men, smart, successful women. I'm looking at that. But whatever you are is small compared to what you can be. I'm dead serious. Look at how much you've been able to do, and ask yourself if you were. Some people haven't even signed up for the game on the weekend. What? So it's like ego of some, not all. But it's ego is like, I get embarrassed if I don't know how to answer this. I don't answer that. Listen, you need to get to it. You need to understand how much you do or don't understand about the religion anyway, because I want to drive that question back to you as conclude this portion of the khutbah. Again, is that what are you living on if you're not living on what I'm talking about? I'm serious. What guides your life? Do you understand that 95% of your life is lived unconsciously? Wallahi, it's not like this. Well, that's just for the people who ain't Muslim, who ain't paying attention, who not awoke. No, you need everything. The good in our life, and yes, the bad in our life. Most of it is unconscious. Certain habits we have adapted, certain habits we have acquired, certain personalities we have gained, certain habits we have, they account for the excellences in our life. But most times we don't know what it is that accounts for that. The point is that when we become more conscious of it, or rather, if we live our life and it's not based on what we know as far as the Quran is concerned, you may be getting some benefit from it, but you're not fully evolving in the way that Allah wants you to evolve, that you were created to evolve by His will. So I say as I conclude that you have to seek to be a conscious knower of Al-Islam as it relates to your life. Otherwise, you may unconsciously be operating on a life that's not Islam. There are a lot of people who are not Muslims who have good lives. They have enviable lives, indeed, but they're not Muslim. So what does that mean? It's possible for a Muslim to have a good life, but it won't be an Islamic life because they're operating on the same principles as the others, and if that's all they want out of life, then that's fine. But they are not experiencing the depths and the richness that Allah promises in the Quran that's like no other. You can only get that by embracing what Allah has revealed and acting on it.
وربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
I gave you what I'll conclude, I'm going to say something in the second portion of the khutbah about tomorrow as well, but I want to, with Allah's help, make this point here clear. And that is We say waakim as-salat wa atu zakat. Waakim as-salat wa atu zakat. And establish prayer and establish a zakat. Here's another. Abstract, truth without details, which if you practice it, it's going to have a blossoming effect in areas of your life that you have no idea that it does. It's this. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. How often do you read that? How often do you hear that? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Let's go with this. Here's another abstract. On top of that, it's connected. The surah, the whole surah, surah al-Asr. Wal-Asr. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. What is that, concrete or abstract? It's abstract. Why is it abstract? Because it's not giving you details. By the total of time, verily man is lost. You guys say, well, what's the meaning? So if the meaning is not coming across clear to you, what Quran says, stay away from fornication and adultery. Is that clear or not? That's clear. Don't eat pork. Is that clear or not? And that's not abstract on first basis. That's not abstract. That's concrete. Okay. Well, asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. Why do men lose time? Let's complete the sentence. Be clear on the sentence. Why do men lose? Question mark. End of that sentence. God's answer is time. The token of time. By the token of time, man is lost. And it still doesn't mean the detail. Well, lost how? Lost where? And is it L-O-S-T or is it L-O-S-S? Hello, secret language people. But then what does that, what does the law say? Whether you get it as abstract, whether you get it as concrete, you know it's negative. By the token of time, verily man is lost. Okay, do you want loss or not? No, I don't want loss. Okay, well, how do you get out of losing? I don't know how time relates to it or not. These AirPods crazy. Blog Talk, I'm sorry if you're not hearing me. It's I think the battery died and I charged them all last night. Next story, moving on. So it says, well, asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-ladhina aminu wa amilu salihat. So here Allah is saying, you don't have to lose. You don't have to lose. Okay, God, how is it that I can avoid losing? Believe and do the right thing. Oh, wait. But that's abstract. I'm trying to get you to understand that you need to ask these questions and seek those answers. Because that do the right thing, then that means in every situation that you're in, make your actions on the basis of faith, and you can believe, but you do need to also know, well, what's the right thing to do? Do you see? So if you believe in faith and doing the right thing, then in order to fulfill that, whenever you're in a situation, let's say you have a problem. Just imagine that. You have a problem. Okay, pull that out. Ladina aminu wa amilu salihat. Ladina aminu wa amilu salihat. I got a problem. Okay, where's the problem? Okay? Well, I still got to give you this. If you can name the domain, you can name the game. If you can name the domain, you can name the game. Okay, what does it mean? When I say, what kind of problem is it? Well, who? Well, who's the problem with? Where's the problem? Is it family problem? Is it a business problem? Is it an academic problem? Is it a political problem? Name the domain, then you can name the game. And once you name the game, now go over there into that domain and ask yourself, what is it that I am trying to achieve, trying to accomplish? Once you know what that is, ladina aminu wa amilu salihat. First you approach it as a believer. And you seek in that domain, and I'm telling you, the Quran has the answer for anything. There's not anything in your life the Quran and life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do not have an answer for. Quran says it is not a question they can bring you for which we have not provided the answer and the best explanation. This is the book that we say we believe in. This is the religion that we say we follow. It's like, how can a Muslim believer be confused? How does that happen? How? If you're a Muslim and you really believe in the Quran and you really believe in Allah and the Prophet Muhammad and you seek there for your answers and the solutions to your problems, how can the problem be such insoluble? You're a Muslim and a believer. I see, therefore, that's what you have to check. What's going on with my faith? What's going on with my faith? Because if you don't stop there first, everything else don't make no difference at all. Isn't that what God showed us? Abraham said, how will the resurrection be? God said, hold up, let me ask you something. Do you believe? Abraham, oh, yeah. Okay, carry on. And then Allah told him what to do, problem solved, meaning what he didn't understand. So what I'm saying, brother and sister, is that in that formula, that's a wax on, wax off formula for everything in your life. Are you dealing with what you're dealing with as a believing Muslim? Are you acting like someone else? See, first stop, Levina Aminu. Second stop, Aminu Solihad. All right, so once you decide, and you're clear, you're satisfied, yes, I'm in the domain of a believer as relates to academic matters. I'm in the domain of a believer in the domain of economic matters. I'm in the domain of a believer in with regard to whatever, political matters, cultural matters. And so since you're there, now you go to your sources. And you say, what does the Quran say about this particular domain of problems that I'm facing? What does the Quran say about that? What did Prophet Muhammad model in this domain about this concern that I'm having? See, because if you don't go there, now you have to watch yourself and you have to watch the shaitan who will try to, don't look over there, ain't nothing over there. He don't want you to look over there. So he will provide all kinds of excuses, rationalizations for why, that don't apply to me. Blah, 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 blah. And what Shaitan will be doing is keeping the light away from you. He's waxing on and waxing off you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So the idea is, I have to give you one or two more, and then we go on to something else. We said, wa akimus salat wa atu zakat, abstract without details, wax on, wax off. You do it, everything is going to evolve and improve just because you're in that habit. Things that need to be fixed in your life, they will get fixed with you as an agent for fixing them. Because you will have developments by that habit that you didn't know were applying to other domains and other areas of your life. They got improved as a result, the consequence of your waqim as-salat wa atu zakat. Illa alladhina aminu wa amilu as-salihat. Practice that, and that's going to have universal effects in your life just because you're in the habit of first, what does faith say? That's the first question you're asking. What does faith say? Next thing is, and what is the knowledge in the domain of concern that I'm having? What does the Quran say about it? What does the life model of Prophet Muhammad say about it? When you can ask and answer those questions about whatever it is that you're dealing with, then you're getting the benefit of ladina aminu wa amilu salihat. When you practice that, right? Then last thing I want to mention in this connection is that in the verse that we read, well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Enjoining right and forbidding what is wrong. I'm gonna keep it like I gotta keep it standing like that. Continue to say it like this. Wax on, wax off. That's one of those wax on, wax off. It's that enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. Do you know that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Oh, yeah, I'm dealing with my children, enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. Dealing with my husband, enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. Dealing with a business partner, enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. Dealing with these politics, enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. But it means, obviously, you have to do some study in order to know what's right and what's wrong in the domain that you're talking about. So there's no such thing as a dumb Muslim in a real sense. Because whatever we're dealing with, we're supposed to know. First revelation, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your guardian evolver. Well, when and where? Whenever you have something that you need to enjoy what is right, forbid what is wrong, something that you have to have faith and you want to know how to do the right thing, it's a practice. It's a deen. It's a way of life. It's a habit of mind. It's a part of your character. When that's not normal and natural for you, then that is evidence of the fact that, man, I got some serious growing I need to do. Because there are a lot of things in my life that could be checked if I just got that in order. All right, so to conclude, I want to make an announcement. Hand me the announcements. Shukran. Okay, so this is going to be an exception today. As a general rule, we have come to the habit of making a salat and making announcements. I'll try not to be overburdening for you, but I want to go ahead and do this. So,
don't let him take it, no. Don't let him take it, no. You know, you can't just say something and leave it there. You have to really be acting on it, because they're not taking your words just because you say. So I wanted to just bring that forth, you know, the wax on and wax off, as you're saying, yes, you get to the point, you wake up, and you may wake up a little late, and you didn't make the light on time or whatever. Well, put forth the effort to do so, the waxing on, waxing off, the salat, and then the zakat. We are now a group is currently studying zakat, the whole principle of it, and how that that important is a dedication we have to apply. So that's where we are. Thank you so very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. May Allah continue to bless you. Alhamdulillah. Imam Asma, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imam?
Assalamu
alaykum. Alaykum
assalam
wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Yeah, you're good. Okay. Yeah, okay. We hear you. Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, good. So I'm did I say wa alaykum assalam? I'm sorry.
Yes, you did. You did. You good.
Okay.
Your dad is straight, brother.
Okay. So what I'm calling about is you mentioned this Alif Lam Meem.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mentioned it, well, it's I guess it's described as the mystic letters. So I'm looking at them now. We know, even though these are letters, and I'm just going to say what I have here. These are three letters, but the and Allah is the teacher. Now we don't have these letters coming up in the Quran, and Allah is not teaching us something about those letters. So if we go to stay in the frame of the command of Iqra, those letters are just as important as any other word in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Okay. So what I'm coming to is now, as an abstraction out of the language environment that Allah is giving these letters. And I think the concrete response is just like the command Iqra, where we have to articulate these letters.
Okay.
And we have to articulate, we're supposed to articulate them properly. So it goes right to, whether we are conscious of it or not, it goes right to our mockery. It goes right to stimulate the letters themselves, stimulate something in your brain, in your neural makeup, in your language area of the brain is articulated, and so many other things that are responding. You as a creation, we as a creation responding to these three letters.
Mm-hmm.
And if we pronounce the letters themselves, there are about 10 different formations that we have to do to pronounce the letter itself. It's just one letter, but the pronunciation brings out other forms,
yeah,
and sounds of the letter. And that's the abstract. But the concrete now is the brain's response, the neurological response to those letters under the command of Iqra, I'm talking about now this language environment. Yes,
okay.
It's a lot more I want to say, but I'm not going to take a lot of time.
That's very good. I mean, that's very good. It's and again, the qualifier is you set a frame for this is your unpacking. Your interpreting, meaning you're abstracting. All right? I know that you're clear on the language. But I want to be clear on trying to restate. And so once you establish the frame, and you say that there are certain things that, as you speak, that these things are fundamental to what I'm saying. So I'm saying I'm repeating you. I'm mirroring you. So it says, I'm saying that you're saying that for that you have set a frame, and you have said Allah revealed Alif Lam Mim. So it's not empty. It means something, even though Allah is the only one who really knows that it means something. But you say, well, I think about it in the context of this, when I think about it in the context of that frame, speaking as you, I'm saying, I think about the makhrij, I think about the impact, the brain impact, and what is activated, what is stimulated when you actually say the letters, and the consequence and the impact of that. That's where the concrete impact, where the impact of the revelation, just as the revelation, without dealing with it, but in terms of definition of ALM or Alif Lam Mim particularly, but something is happening by way of revelation and of course with the will of Allah, with just the recitation of it and the revelation of it. That's what I get from what you are saying.
Hello? Yes, yes. Yes, and okay. also that it is, it represents life, even those three letters, it represents life because you have to respond to the rebellion. So it represents life and it represents freedom. And when they talk about freedom of speech, it represents that freedom too, to have the ability to do that.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. So you're exemplifying, sir. The only reason I'm cutting you off is because we're dealing with Zamzam here. So it's like, okay. We know that the flow is good. It just keeps going and going and going. So alhamdulillah, you have tapped into a tributary that's very, very wonderful. Alhamdulillah. And so good. Stay on that and, you know, stay in that boat and see where it takes you. And alhamdulillah, share what you find on other opportunities. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much, Imam.
This is Askia Hanid, St. Louis.
Imam Askia, Allahu Akbar. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah. Thankful. Yeah. And alhamdulillah, appreciate the subject and access. I'll try to summarize because I think the subject matter and relating this abstract and the taqwa and the example I think about is the reading that I had made recently and comments that the Imam used to share regarding encouraging in our dawah to let people know that they already had in them what it was that would allow them to establish themselves over the peers that was in the environment. And it wasn't the negative of the environment, but the Imam was encouraging the upliftment. And what I was comparing that to, I was reading in the Quran where Allah was showing us to turn our faces in the direction of the sacred mosque. And in that turning, it was touching up on those that would be in opposition of that turning among those that are the Dhalameen or Dhalam go astray, that Allah is with you. And to ignore that, not fear them, fear us. Now, I see that as an abstract, but so relative to what it takes to encourage society to move forward. And lastly, Jacob giving instruction to his son how to go in Egypt with Yusuf, and he having on his heart what Allah put in him, but it still wasn't going to work out the way that he encouraged them. But the wisdom in it, as well as what Allah's intention is for those if their hearts is right, all of those are abstracts, but because of Imam and teachers like yourself and others that you describe in this university that have come from the Imam's leadership, we're really in a blessed situation in this blessed time of judgment. So yes. I just want to share that in the aspect of the abstract, Brother Imam.
Allahu Akbar, you got it. And, you know, I shouted out Zayd. I don't even remember what show it was, man. I still got loaded stuff up. For those of you listening, Zayd is Imam Askir's son. And his artistry with lyrics and I don't want to put a description on it that lowers it in its value, but some people might call it hip hop in that sense, but we know problems with the language. It's lyricism, it's poetry, it's wisdom with rhythm and insight. And so, I mean, he's really a demonstration of the next generation that we hoped for and that we hope for. And we have those that, like my daughter with me, for example, she's my co-host on the Monday broadcast that we have. And I mean, that stuff is deep, just personally, the way that she operates. And also my other son and daughter, alhamdulillah, and I think we all have hopes of being proud. And that's dua that Allah gives us in the Quran, or Allah give us mates and offspring that will be beautiful in our eyes and give us the grace to be examples for righteous people. So, I mean, to have those kinds of fruit coming from our loin, since it is, alhamdulillah, just a blessing. So I got to remember this. I got to throw up some of the stuff that I'm gonna place on, because had I been ready right now, they say stay ready, so you have to get ready, but I wasn't ready. ready next time. And in a moment like this, I just say, hey, y'all, listen to this and tell me what you think. So alhamdulillah. And like I said, I'm going to have him on as a guest on one of these, but even if I got to start another broadcast too, incorporate those very kind of things. We have young people that are doing so many wonderful things, and they are not as exposed as they should be, especially to us. We need to see them and hear them and know from them and what they're thinking about and what they need. So I guess my open declaration like this is an invitation to everybody to come on, help me make this happen in that respect. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm just saying, okay, what do we need to do to make that a regular, flowing, consistent thing? And if it's happening somewhere already and I don't know about it, then you need to connect me. I'm speaking to everybody. Thank you, man.
No, thank you. I'll come back to my name.
Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right. Okay, so I'm going to move on down the road, not hearing anything. As-salamu alaykum, Imam. Imam Hamim. Inshallah, I think did you make it back to the States, or are you in Canada, man? I don't know. Inshallah, let me know what's going on. Always great to hear from you. Great to see you, even if it's just on your profile page. All right, so we're about to move on. I'm going to go ahead and give a couple of examples. I definitely, from the two imams that just made comments, and Martha and Nyla as well, these comments helped me to get a sense that, well, yeah, it's being somewhat understood. It's very important. So let's do something concrete right now. The idea, of course, is that you get what I'm saying. Okay, so Facebook, blog talk, everybody, I'm not looking. Say, ma'am, say, still hanging out up there in the northern part of alhamdulillah. Thank you, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. So let's get to something particular. Because the goal is I want you to use it. I want you to benefit from it, just like the comments that were being made by Imam Asmar, and I know that Imam Askia, of course, could go further, and Nyla as well, Martha Nyla. But I want more of us to readily, I mean, because of the Quran, al-Islam for sure, but the Quran as the revelation of Allah, and of course the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's just the old. It's an orchard. It's a garden. It's a universe, which is a garden, and it's life. there's no limit to what can be drawn from there with the help of Allah. So those comments, they are editorial, but they have to be said, because you need to be more motivated. If you aren't motivated in the spirit and the tone that I'm giving, you need to be more motivated to do that. So this warning is in the Quran, and I intimated it somewhat toward the end of the khutbah that we aired and that we delivered on Friday. This right here, Quran 57:16. I'm just going to read an expression of it. Quran 57:16. Has not the time arrived for the believers that their hearts in all humility should engage in the remembrance of Allah and of the truth that has been revealed to them, and that they should not become like those to whom was given a revelation aforetime, but long ages passed over them and their hearts grew hard, for many among them are rebellious transgressors. Sadaqallahul Azim. So it's like, you may not be a rebellious transgressor, but you may still, if you're not monitoring yourself for this, you may still be among those who are at risk for having your hearts grow hard because you have not given the due attention to the remembrance of Allah and the truth that has been revealed to you. So, Allah gives us a revelation. I'm not gonna beat you up, or I'm not trying to beat up anything like that. But that's our salvation. The revelation is our salvation. And the more you stay away from the revelation, that is, you don't give it due interest, time, energy, etc. Spend time on it, okay? Then the more you stand away from your salvation, all right? And to the extent that each one of us, you know, you have the fardu ain and the fardu kifaya. The fardu ain is the individual obligations. The fardu kifaya is the community obligations. Each one of us is supposed to make a contribution to the master project, the main project, the overarching project. Well, takum minkum ummah. All of us are supposed to be contributing to the building of ummah. It's a construction project. And as long as you are alive, you are on the site. And you have to know where your place is, what your responsibility is, et cetera, how to discover it, and do it, right? And it can only be done through understanding the marching orders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to all of us universally in the Quran. So it's like you come to the job, but then you're not asking anybody, well, what am I supposed to be doing? You're not asking the boss on the job, what am I supposed to be doing? And then you're not doing it, right? So, and God has given us the revelation. We talk about the greatness of what Imam Muhammad has done, the greatness of what we've been through, the terrible matters that we've gone through, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing his mercy, his grace, etc., bringing us to al-Islam, etc. It's like, okay, and what do you do? What do you do? When the Quran is the height of all of that, the Quran is the height of all of that, and then you delay in getting into it. Okay, so the Quran is telling you, this is what's in store for you if you don't, in your heart, in all humility, engage in the remembrance of Allah and engage the truth of what he has revealed to us. Okay, so that's a warning. 57:16. So once Allah shuts the heart down in relationship to the revelation, man, you're done. You're done. So it's like whatever excuses you are. Oh, I mentioned Wayne Dyer in another publication that I benefited from, and this is Monday, the broadcast. The piece was excuses be gone. Excuses be gone. The whole thing is about how excuses undermine us. Very, 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 very useful. And alhamdulillah, I abstracted and correlated it with teaching that we have in Al-Islam and Quran. And I've already told you, it's not them before us, it's us before them. I only bring them as witnesses to what the Quran has already, and Muhammad and the Imam has already given to us. So, but sometimes we can hear it the way that others articulate it, as opposed to the way that is articulated in our own sources. But inshallah, as you grow, you get to the point where you can trust your own sources first, and then act on them bil-ghayb, act on them just because of the source that they come from. But moving from that, okay, so that's a concern that I want to skip that. Let's do a couple of examples. And let me say first, this is just a small sampling, because these are verses that often recur in my own conversations, right? So some of you'll have in either these, and perhaps no doubt some others that are very regular and significant for you. But these are the ones that just came off the top of my head. And what my hope is to tell you, okay, if you want to get to the abstract and universal truth and the concrete particular truth, as you read the Quran and learn how to take from that, learn how to mine, M-I-N-E, how to mine, by the grace of Allah, everything, they encompass nothing of the knowledge of what it is. So if ever you hear me talking and you think that I have in some way forgotten that it all depends on what Allah allows, just don't do that. Just don't do that. If that's a given, that it's just like the computer that's running right now. The fact that it's running is a demonstration of the fact that the operating system is in good shape, right? If the operating system wasn't in good shape, I couldn't do any other thing that I do with the computer. You can't do it without that operating system. Okay, so whenever we talk about knowledge, whenever we talk about the truth, the underlying operating system is Allah is the only one who knows all things, and nobody who knows anything, if it is to be considered knowledge, nobody knows anything except that Allah has allowed them to know it. And even the Quran tells us again that there are some people who are allowed to know a great deal, but then they have come to a point where they will even grow old, and after knowing much, they'll know very little, right? It's sunrise, sunset. That's the nature of it. Okay, so enough of that. So the point is that these are some questions that this is a habit formula. As usual, it's not complete, but it's sufficient for what we're trying to say. And you're going to, if you follow this, you're going to discover others. You're going to make them more explicit and the like. And that's good, and you should, and that's good. And we should share that with each other. Watawasu bilhaq, watawasu bisabr. That's abstract, that has concrete impact from the verse that we talked about in Wal Asr. And that's how it is. The information is always there. But sometimes if we don't stop and ask ourselves a question or correlate it and relate it to something else, then we have a very limited or confining perspective of something that is itself actually universal. Okay, but these are quote-unquote starter questions to get to that point. And so we're pointing out that these are examples of abstract universal truths and how to move them from that abstract universal to concrete and particular, because that's the goal. The goal is to read the book and apply it in your life, individually and collectively. Read the book and apply it in your life, individually and collectively. That's what it is. Imam Asmar talked about makhrij, talked about the sounds and how the impact of the sounds on our neurology and on our neuronomy, et cetera. That's also a part of the great blessing that we have in the Quran. All of us, however, are not going to be the ones who learn and know how to recite the Quran with the exact makhrij, with the tilawat and tartil and that, alhamdulillah, because some people are more inclined to it. Some people are more suited to it. Some people are more motivated in that way, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, and we're supposed to benefit from them, okay? But at the same time, when you focus on one thing and the mastery of one thing, then no, you can't master the other things to the extent that you do that. Yes, you have polyglots all over the world, people who are masters of self, but they are exceptions. They are not the rules. Generally speaking, there are only certain things that each of us are going to be able to master at higher levels. And the charity, the sadaqah that we do, is bring it back to the table. Don't arrogate and separate yourself from that. That's Iblis inside of that. And say, oh, no, yeah, you want this, you're going to come to me. And I say, hey, look, just put it on the table, right? And mashallah, and of course, respecting it, then there should be benefit flowing from those individuals who benefit from it in one way or the other, either abstract or concrete respect or mutual benefit. Let's move away from that. Okay, so let's just walk through examples. I actually put this one set of questions here because once you start down that road, then everything's just going to, inshallah, Allah, everything's just going to open up for us. Okay, so we started yesterday looking at Surah Al-Baqarah 1 through 5. And so we'll just use our example questions to speak to it. 2, 1 through 5, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم. So, again, we talked about translation. In fact, ma'am sent me that. No, not even ma'am, my barber. He actually sent me something. I'm going to go ahead and play. I don't know how it's going to play out. This is, I'm going to try this. Let's see. I'll play this little script. Now, the audio may not come through in the way that I best. But mashallah, it is what it is. So we'll, I'm going to remove this right now. And I want to try to bring something else. Yes, watch this little clip.
Dr. Adam, I'm sorry. I'm not shaking those hands because I don't know where they've been. وَيُسْقَوْنَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زَنْجَبِيلًا عَيْنًا فِيهَا تُسَمَّى سَلْسَبِيلًا
What's that?
عَلَيْهِمْ
Hold up, you're here.
Wait, before we take this, I must admit I was enjoying your recitation of the Quran.
Thank you.
Reading the Quran in its original Arabic text hasn't always been easy. How come you are able to read all those complex inscriptions?
For the same reasons you are able to read and interpret your medical jargon.
And you know that diseases may be suffering from
diseases?
We have conditions.
Yeah.
And at the garden until I was in the Quran.
And what could I do?
Show off arrogance and negligence on your part to learn the Quran. And long-term complications may include my shaitan don't for example, al-harat wa shakawa.
Please, slow down, okay? Slow down.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Taha, ayah number 124. ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى.
But whoever turns away from my message should have a depressed life, and he shall raise him blind on the day of resurrection. And turning away from the message of Allah includes investing all your time in seeking other forms of knowledge while making little or no effort to learn the Quran. But there are translations and transliterations for people like us who cannot read. Yes, people like you who cannot read. Call those who can read and educate them. Anyway, translations and translations don't do the magic. It only gives you an idea. And here's a piece of advice, Doctor. The primary and ultimate source of all knowledge is the Quran. You can have all the degrees, but at the end of the day, if you are lacking in the Quran, then your education is incomplete. It's never too late to go back to the classroom. You still have time.
Alhamdulillah. So that was shared with me by my barber. Now, I need to step away for a hot second, and I'm gonna come back. We'll just get familiar with this this plate that I have here.
People, we are something. We come give you a lesson for your mind. If you just didn't listen, bring up the day, tell you about the time. But the wicked people in the world today, trying to take what God gave you, that is your mind. Coming at you through the TV, coming at you through the radio, coming at you through the movie screen, coming at you through the disco, coming at you from the left and right, coming at you from behind, trying to take what God gave you, that is your mind. Just from things like,
what's up?
Trying to fight it,
don't let it take your mind.
Don't let it take your mind.
Come on and
fight it, don't let it take
your mind.
Don't let it take it, don't.
That your role has come to an end, and you were warm, but I'm on your soul. But you chose to be slick, so your ties won't hold. That's why you got to fight, yeah.
Fight, yeah.
Don't let him take your
life. Don't let him take it, no.
Fight, don't let him take your life.
Come on and fight, people. Come on and fight, yeah.
Don't let
him
take your
mind. Don't let him take it, no. Time is rising, yeah. Time is running. People are going crazy. They don't know what to do. Devil is working night and day, trying to lead you straight. Coming at you from the left and right. Coming at you from behind, trying to take what God can do, that is your mind. That's why we say fight. Come on and fight, people.
Don't let him take your mind.
Don't let him take it, no.
Don't let him take your mind.
Come on and fight, people.
The great propagators, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Wonderful. Okay, so let's go. In terms of some examples, these are just examples, and I will be asking for your feedback afterwards if you can amplify, clarify, i.e. identify, that's better said, questions. That help get to the point that we're saying. Okay, so we just read, we read Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayahs 1 through 5, right? And so when we look at the verses themselves, it's very difficult not to, quote-unquote, teach them, but that's not my teach the verse or the interpretations, except my emphasis and effort here is to, okay, this is the pickaxe, the shovel, the tool that you use. That's what I'm trying to teach. Tool that you use to go in and mine the verse. People are going to have different strategies, and people are going to go different ways, and that's all going to be on the basis of how they're oriented, right? That's okay, alhamdulillah. And that's why we get different facets of the revelation. We get different facets of the revelation from different people, because everyone has their heart, their mind, their soul that they bring to the revelation, okay? And the revelation itself is universal. And because it's universal, no one person is going to get all that is in it. It's universal, every element of it. And so when you understand it, it's fine. So the question is, okay, here are some tools that you can use to get for yourself. Get for yourself what's there for you by the grace of Allah. Okay, so Alif Lam Mim, right? Then it says, I got a bunch of footnotes there, moving from that. It says, this is the book about which there is no doubt, a guidance for those conscious of Allah. All right. Just ask the question. And this would be true for any verse that we may have started with. But in this case, we're starting with this one. So you have to ask yourself about it. Now, I do have to qualify. First thing, you've got to get to the original Arabic. The English is just not, going to. You'll benefit as many of us have. We've benefited from translations, but if you're talking about getting to what Allah has revealed, because Allah said, Alif Lam Mim. He didn't say ALM. He said Alif Lam Mim. That is, He revealed Alif Lam Mim. And He revealed, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That's what He revealed. He didn't say, this is the book. Now, those of you already know, looking at the issue of ذَلِكَ, right, as opposed to, say, هَذِهِ, something that's saying this, as opposed to that, right? No, Allah said ذَلِكَ. So He said that, right? He said that is the book. But the translator says this is the book. And most everywhere you see it translated, you know, you can go to Corpus Quran and see the web, because it has a list. You can go to the tab that says translator, or probably translation, and it will give you 6 or 7 different translations of any given verse that you're looking at, corpus.quran.com, I believe it is. So I don't know of anyone who in their translations say that as opposed to this. Here's my first question. you know, is, I say, what is the immediate meaning? So you say, what is the immediate meaning? And this is about any aspect of it. What is the immediate meaning? Well, you got to go from the immediate meaning of what Allah revealed. Zalikal kitabu, right? Zalikal kitab. What is the immediate meaning of that? Says that is the book. See, and everything tumbles. There's so much stuff that the mashallah, so much whatever information, or you know, lights that should come on, or darknesses that should be removed. He said, okay, well, why did he say that as opposed to this? Right? And then when he says the book, Zalika al-kitab, al-kitab, Zalika al-kitab, that is the book. Okay. What? Because if Zalika is pointing away from the one who's speaking to and away from the one who is being spoken about, that is not speaking about them particularly, then what is it pointing to? You know, what is the immediate meaning? When you ask that and you go to work trying to answer that question, look, you'll be working for some time if you really want to understand that. Okay? So the bottom line, you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing for every one of these. Every time I'm mentioning this, I was first almost inclined to say, and I'm not satisfied that it's necessarily wrong, but I didn't follow it out, you know, so thoroughly. But the idea is that you can just ask what, you can just ask what, and then fill in a blank in relationship to what you're saying, what and a blank, okay? So, example, what is that book? Okay, that's what and a blank. What is that book? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There is no raib in it. Right? I know maybe what I'm saying is obvious, but until you do it, you won't really have the experience of what I'm saying, what reveals or what is revealed or what comes out of that. That لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So once you identify what that book is, and there's no raib in it, you need to know, well, what is this raib? Some translators say crookedness, some say corruption, etc. Now you got to relate it to that book. What is that book that has no crookedness in it? Now people will say, well, you know, it's the Quran, you know, it's the Quran. But how do you answer the issue? Because we're going from abstract to concrete, and after we're talking about the revelation itself. So if that physical book was not existing at the time of this revelation, Surah Al-Baqarah, at the time of this revelation, there was no Quran as you and I hold every day as a book. So what book was it talking about, and what crookedness was it saying was not in the book, right? Just, you know, a little hint for, you know, for getting to the place where you have a stable, well-grounded understanding of it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, it is in the mother of the book. It is in the mother, Umul Kitab. It is in the mother of the book. Okay, well, if I point away, I'm not trying to teach it. I'm saying, if I say that is the book, then that is speaking about something that is away from the one being spoken to and or the one who is speaking. That is the book, right? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. So once you know what is, and then you have to ask, well, what is the crookedness that is speaking of that is not in it, right? You still have what? What book? What crookedness? And لا رايب فيه. حدا للمتقين. Again, I'm not trying to teach. I'm just saying, ask the question. حدا للمتقين. Right? One of the first questions, just from the hit of the English side of it, would be, it's like, what is a mutaqeen? Same with my word, what? Right? What is a mutaqeen? You got to answer that. What is a mutaqeen? And what is guidance? What is guidance? Do you know? I mean, what is guidance? You know that English word. You know the English word guidance, but Allah didn't say guidance. He said huda. See? How do you know what a word means? One of the ways that you know what a word means, it means what it conveys in terms of information to someone who is a native speaker of that language, right? It means, I'm speaking just from a definition perspective, it means what it conveys to a native speaker of that language, right? So, you know, you hear this term, idioms, right? Idioms, right? So what are you doing, man? Oh, just killing time, right? So somebody has a limited understanding of those words. They know what killing means, and they know what time means. And so when you put those together, killing time, it's like, man, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can go a whole lot of places with that. My only point is that that's idiomatic, meaning that you have to know the language in order to know what that does or does not mean, right? So the point is that if you want to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means when he says Huda, then obviously you have to use the Quran as the context for it, and then you have to get knowledge of what it meant to the first audience who received that message, right? Prophet Muhammad, Allah revealed it to Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he spoke it to the 7th century Arab audience. He spoke that language. Not even Hans Weir. As we're modern standard Arabic, right? The language that, and I still have to look this up. I believe there was a practice of the early Arabs even, which included Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but before he was a prophet, but they would have their children go out into the empty quarter, out to the quote unquote the original speakers of the language, and learn from them the original, like, let's just call it language. And, okay, so the point is that until you know what it said to them, you don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said explicitly, because that's who he was talking to first, right? And Quran says, never does Allah send a messenger but speaking the language of the people to whom he is sent. So that language is the first language. And so knowing what it said to them when they heard it, that's when you know what was actually said, when God says, Hudan lil muttaqin. And I want to recommend to you a book that Imam Qasim recommended to me, and I found a lot of great benefit from it. God, Man, and the Quran by the author. His name is Izutsu. Here we go again. Sometimes I can get my hands on stuff. When you're not looking for it, you can find it. But then when you're looking for it, you can't find it. Izutsu. In any case, you can find it. God, Man, and the Quran. And it talks about how taqwa as a term transformed the psychology, the personality, and the character of the people by its association with Kareem as a word, Kareem, and what Kareem meant at that time to those Arabs, and what taqwa meant at that time to those Arabs, and what they meant together when Allah revealed it in Surah the Apartments. Is it the Inner Apartments? Surah 49, ayah 13, where it says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim," says, "Inna Allah khalaqnakum min dhakara wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uba wa qaba'ila li ta'arrafu. Inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum." Okay. said, "Inna akramakum." You want to know what honor is? God said, "You guys have an idea about honor, but let me tell you what real honor is. Not that that you're calling honor, but let me tell you what that what you think you're calling honor. That's not really it. Inna akramakum indallahi. With Allah, real honor is atqakum, the ones of you who have the best taqwa, right? And then of course you have to look at the revelation and see how Allah has used taqwa throughout, because when you read the Quran and you read the words in the Quran and what Allah says in the Quran, that's Allah's language. That's what he means when he says this. That's what he means when he says that. And so now to use the words the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered it, the way that Allah has meant it, yes, you need to know what he said, and you need to understand how it was understood by the people he said it to, and that's what you're pulling out to say, well, this is the fact about that, because Allah said it this way, and he said it to these people, and they understood it this way, and so therefore that remains is, okay, this is the truth about that word. And so that's what you have to do to quote unquote get to what the immediate meaning is. So yes, a primary precedential requirement is you have to learn how to to know it or to identify it. I'm saying that when I say you have to learn how to read it, alhamdulillah, good. We all have to strive to continue to learn how to read with the proper makhraj and this and that and that. Alhamdulillah, absolutely done. Okay, next. But if you're not, even if you are not knowing the fullness of that, being able to read the words, identify the letters, right, find that word in the Quran, wherever it appears, and from those appearances, be able to abstract from those multiple appearances in the Quran, well, there's something along this line that is true whenever it is used, or most times when it is used. So when you find that consistent presence relative to a word in the Quran, the one you're trying to understand in the way that Allah would have you understand it, then abstracting is pulling out what seems to be a common feature whenever this appears. Whenever this word appears, there's usually something like this in the neighborhood. Whenever it appears, there's usually something like that in the neighborhood. Whenever it appears, it never appears in the presence of X, which sometimes you may assume it would. Okay, yeah. There's a lot of things that you have to do. There's a lot of things that you have to do. But the point is that's what are you looking for? What I'm actually expressing is very, Allahu A'lam, but I am explaining something pretty simple. Let me take you back to an example that I gave. I won't do it. You use the theater of your mind. Remember the picture that I showed you of the drawing of a child of a house, and then the drawing of a house by a full-fledged artist. The child's picture is abstract. What do you mean? It's abstract because it pulls out of the sequences and series and their experience of things called houses. They pulled out those things that are true across the whole scan of houses that they've been exposed to and they've had experience with, and so they all have the shape that shows up as a second greatest picture of a house. All right. What I just said to you about words in the Quran is that's how you get the abstract for the word. You get the abstract for the word by exposing yourself to the word in its multiple appearances in the Quran. And then you look at the verse environment there, because the word is not happening in a vacuum. The word is happening in a context, right? Meaning that something only makes sense, a word only gives and delivers its sense inside of a sentence, right? And, of course, the sentence is also inside of perhaps a verse. Right? All right, so the verse environment for the word that you're studying, you have to include all that. I mean, that's a part of it. You don't, you're not studying the word in isolation. You're studying the word in context. So you have platforms like, as I mentioned, Corpus Quran. Somebody no doubt knows others, but Corpus Quran is pretty easy. I'm familiar with that. It's sometimes it's like Android and iOS. Some people are more on Apple. Some people are more on Galaxy phones. Fine. At the point, both of them make the same phone calls, et cetera, but they use different operating systems. So I'm saying this is not the only one, the Corpus Quran, not that one. But getting past that, the point is that it can show you everywhere where a verse, in its various different verbal forms, how it appears, right? And you can look at the verse environment for every time that word appears in the Quran, right? Now, so let's say you look at 100 verses. All of them don't have that, but I don't want you to be frightened away. But I stay with my number, 100. So you went through 100 where the word, the root for taqwa, for example, appears. Or literally you can just go with the word taqwa. That'll also narrow your scope. So just taqwa. So you open that platform up, and taqwa 1, taqwa 2, verse, and you look at verse environment. So you've had experience with the verse environment in which that word appears. Now look at them and ask, what seems to be consistent? What seems to always in some way be in or nearby when this word is used in the revelation? Then when you pull that out and identify what that is, you have abstracted taqwa. You have abstracted taqwa, insha'Allah. Abstract was, and that abstract is universal. Abstract, why is it universal? It's universal because that is true whenever taqwa is present, right, in a verse. Right, and Allahu alam. So you do that. So then, when you know it, or even in the word, that's very specifically, the word that we talked about, hudan lil muttaqin. You look specifically for that word. Where does it appear in the Quran? What is the verse environment that's there? What do you abstract as something being true throughout all the cases where muttaqin appears? What seems to be always there and present also, right? When you identify that, you have abstracted the term muttaqin. Okay? So that means that you've done that for, and you do that for whatever it is that you, for whatever it is that you're doing. So, you know, you can imagine, it's like, man, this is just a little small sampling, but they have some critical set of verses. But if you ask that question about whatever verse, so you think about the verse that you're trying to understand, say, man, I really wish I understood the depths of this verse, I understood the depths of this term. Okay. We just talked about, go for it. That's now you can do that. So we're about to sign out, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Naima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, and greetings to all of you. So we're going to check out, inshallah, tomorrow, inshallah, you'll be with us for Quran Salat Institute. Those of you in the Bay Area, I hope you find your way down to Masjid al-Wara theme for our game introduction and challenge, the Hifaz game, the Hifaz game, 1:30 today. I won't elaborate on it right now, but it's a game that's created by our Muezzin that Master Thing we have adapted, and we expect to roll it out to the entire world, for that matter. It's simple, basic, fundamental, but ours, B is that Islam. When I say ours, I mean it's from the Bilalian heart, soul, mind, spirit, motivation, to the mastery of providing a foundation in the fundamentals and in a game, which is critical. So it's we're not going to be broadcasting or anything like that, but mashallah, we will be recording the experience. So look forward to the Hifaz game coming your way. Hold on. Let me see. I think I can get a model on screen. Yeah, here you go. This again. Get my mic back on here. Sorry, Blog Talk, I can't give you the visual on it. But this is the Hifaz game. Defense, protection, and guarding the cherished and sacred things. Alhamdulillah. So that muezzin that you always hear on our broadcast, this was done by him. I can't really open it up for you. I mean, I could, but I just didn't want to get all pulled out here. It's too tight. I think that's the message. Don't go that far. It's good. So look forward to this, and look forward to owning one of these. This is an artifact of something very, very critical that came out of those who are the descendants of those who are subject to an experimental clinic designed to cause them to dysfunction in the vital areas of their lives. From that to this being one of the outer manifestations of the grace of Allah upon that people and their return to their original state and nature and worship and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and contributing works that will build Ummah, inshallah. There's much more to be said, will be said about this, but plan on buying one when they come out. Trust, wallahi. Zakat, sadaqah is an obligation. Zakat is an obligation. Sadaqah is a blessing for each one of us to have the opportunity to give. But that being said, look, Master Warateen doesn't need your money, okay? What we are working on is building Ummah. This is one of the features of it. But don't forget to pay your zakat. Alhamdulillah. All right, brothers and sisters. God's peace be on you. Everybody have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.